What's up, fam? Welcome to the Mostly Normal Gamers podcast episode. Sorry, I keep losing games. Episode. What did we just? It's 180. Episode 180.
Oh wow! Look at that.
Yeah. Took us 180 episodes, James, and I can't even. I don't even know how many hours. But we finally got a sponsor. Not on this show, but perhaps the next one.
Wow.
You know. So we're making our way up, maybe by. What do you think, 500 episodes? We'll have two sponsors.
Yeah. We'll have two. Yeah, well, yeah. If track record is anything to go off of, yeah, yeah. I think that's...
Well, what's up, y'all? We're happy to be here. Sorry, it's been a while. Again, like I said, it's episode 180, where it's October 13th, Friday the 13th. We should have made it a Spooktober episode, James.
Spooky. I mean, every day of October is spooky for me.
Yeah.
Do you like scary movies?
I love scary movies, but I get scared. Makes me so that I'm, like, unable to sleep for, like, a couple days if it's a good enough one.
That's like Chrissy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do a thing every October where, for some stupid reason, I watch one horror movie every day for the entirety of October.
Oh, that's
cool.
I really
don't watch a ton of scary movies outside of the spooky season. So I kind of, like, this is my one time to really just cram in all of those horror movies I've missed in the past year and a bit, right?
Yeah.
So I've been doing pretty consistent. I've got two new ones that I'm really keen on. Like, I've watched for the first time, and I was like, oh, dang, these were good. I like this one. And the first one was, what's it called? Barbarian. It came out last year, I think, and it was quite good. I enjoyed it. I like a good movie with a monster in it, rather than, like, ghost horror.
What was the most recent one you watched, though?
I watched Bone Tomahawk. Which was a Western horror, and it features cave dwellers and kidnapping people from a village, and a search party goes out to find them, and it was good. I really enjoyed it. It got me by surprise. I wasn't expecting to enjoy it the way I did, and it was good. Very gruesome. So if anybody's, like, not into gore. I mean, it's not like what is it, like Hostel and those movies that are just, like, gore fests.
Like, over the top?
Yeah, there's just a few scenes that have, like, ooh, this is much. This is much. You're like, oh! They split a man in two down the middle in one scene, and it's just like, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't be watching that on a work computer.
Yeah. I had one Halloween where I did get into horror movies, and it didn't seem to scare the crap out of me. But I think I watched, like, a bunch of old school ones.
I love old ones.
Yeah. But I can't remember. I just wasn't freaked out by them. But anyway, happy Spooktober, man.
Woo.
And let's see. I have to look up the lowdown. If you want to be part of the conversation, you can hit us up on Twitter at MN Gamers Podcast. Are people still calling it Twitter, man? Like, I guess it's only been like 6 weeks, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I just call it a mistake.
Yeah, You can email us podcast@mostlynormalgamers.com. You can pick up old issues of the newsletter at mostly normal monthly at mngamers.substack.com. You can send us a voicemail or text, 507-291-2991. You can get VOD on the YouTube channel, which is mostly normal. No, youtube.com. So, I don't know. You'd have to search it. It has a bunch of weird numbers after it, like five weird numbers. So I don't know. Apparently, Mostly Normal Gamers was taken. Or you can watch us live right now, because that's what we're doing. At twitch.tv/mostlynormalgamers. What, did I scare you there?
Yeah, we're live right now. They could be watching us.
Yeah, you could. Like, literally. I should probably tweet that or something. I should get in the habit of doing that, you know, more regularly.
Just like
anyway. now that the spiel is done, what you been playing, James? I like before we James and I started recording, we were talking and about how long it's been since we've done this and how we actually have like tons of stuff to talk about now. So what do you want to start with?
Let's just I've completed Sea of Stars. So let's start with that because I know you've been playing and you completed Sea of Stars.
Oh yeah. We were I loved it. I
firing was firing back and forth.
Absolutely shocked when you told me you hadn't finished it before I did.
Yeah, I got a little bogged down in the last couple of weeks. I like just work stuff and life. But yes, I did manage to eke out an hour or two each day to just kind of keep plugging away at it. And I drew credits a couple days ago. And let me tell you, there's some ending credits. That last, like, you think, like, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but, like, there's just this moment where you beat the last boss and you're like, wow, that's it? Like, it feels like there should be more. And there kind of is more, but it's got, like, this really corny, like, I don't know, closing out moment. And then it, like, I think the credits are going to start rolling and suddenly you're playing again. You're like, oh shit, this is the game.
Yeah.
And you got one last thing to do. And, it's great though. Like it's super fun. Great music through and through. And
oh man. Like,
oh my God.
Speaking of which, I've been meaning to check cause it's supposed to go up on Spotify. Cause I sent you that song that one morning I was playing before it's I started work and like, oh man, that soundtrack is something else.
That was like the Sky City or Sky whatever.
Yeah, something theme. Like
yeah,
that.
It's so good. It's so good.
It's fantastic.
I love that there's a certain point in the game where it's like the world, like a buddy of mine kind of referred to it as like, it's the Final Fantasy VI when the world after the world like is destroyed or whatever and you're playing the game and it's like this weird sort of point where the whole everything flips on its head, but like a lot of the same music is playing throughout that, but it's got a whole different style. Like it's like the evil version of the like it's more techie and like synth based rather than like the way it was playing out before, like, and so it's like, hey, I know this song, but it's different, and it's got like, so you're like, you know how like when you know a song, your brain is like, you know what's happening, so you're in control. It's not like you're listening to it for the first time, but you are listening to it for the first time, and it's just like oh cool,
yeah.
And so I was having a blast with that, like just going like, oh, it's this song again,
right?
But it sounds
like a different version of it, yeah. And it's, dude, this game is hard to talk about without spoiling it.
I know, it's so good.
Sorry, it's I had to burp there for a second.
Oh, yeah, you know.
But yeah.
Good thing this is an audio format, right?
Yeah, don't worry, I muted it. I'm just that good.
Yeah.
But first you talked about the credits. Please tell your story you told me about the credits, because I'm pretty sure people probably want to
hear it. I backed this game. On Kickstarter, and part of the nice thing that the backers get to be mentioned in the credits. Sweet. And then we also get a little tombstone throughout the game. So I was like, I found my tombstone. Cool.
Will you text me that, or did you already tweet it out? I want to go look it up now.
Oh, like my tombstone?
Yeah, does it just say your name and that's it?
Yeah, it says, I can't remember what I wrote. I get to write a little phrase and then my name.
Oh, okay, then I want to see
and
it.
And so... Yeah, I'll send you a link. I have the photo of it. I'll just post the my Switch and send it. But so I'm sitting through the credits trying to find my name, and there's a lot of backers, so I'm sifting through a lot of names, right? And I was just like, I just want that moment where my name's in the credits of a video game, and it's gonna be so cool. And they spelt my last name wrong. And I was like, wait, there's gotta be some error. It's gotta be somebody else. I gotta keep scrolling. No, it's just, I screenshotted that screen and I was like, I screenshotted like, I don't know, like another like area that like a different backer tier, just maybe for some reason I got stuck in the wrong tier and there's actually somebody named James Hallett out there. And, no,
there
I'm
might
pretty
be.
Sure. I'm pretty sure they just forgot. Yeah. Because, like, my name's spelled right on my tombstone in the game.
You should tell them. Right. You should write it, like, tweet them and ask them to change it.
I don't know. I don't. That seems a little bit.
I'm mostly kidding.
Yeah, like, that seems, like, pretty juvenile to be like, yeah, so I backed this game. Can you go back and fix
my game?
Send an update out so everybody
can... That was exactly my thought. They'd have to put an update out so they can fix your name. That would be cool. Because then at least I know next time I booted that game up or whatever, it'd be like, oh, see if Stars is updated, and I'd be like, oh, I know what the update is. They fixed James's name.
the Sea of Stars James Halliday patch.
That'd be awesome if they did call it that.
Oh, well. Like, life goes on.
Exactly.
It was just one of those moments where I was like, come on, really?
Yeah.
But it was still fantastic game. Absolutely loved it. They got me with, like, there's an emotional part.
Yeah, man.
At a certain point in that game, and I was not expecting, I was not prepared for it.
No, I wasn't either. And it's dragged out, too. Like, and this isn't, I don't mean, this isn't a knock on the game at all, but it is, like,
you're, like, attached to a character. They make you go through a whole quest with this character, yeah.
Yeah, it is. Man. It wasn't, like, I wouldn't ever call it, like, what do you want to say, like, gut-wrenching or heart-wrenching, I guess? But it was most certainly a moving moment in the game.
Yeah, no,
really
absolutely.
Well done, too. And, they refer back to it. It's a fantastic game, man. I was thinking about it while I was playing it. It's odd that, or not odd, or not unfortunate either, but it's interesting that Breath of the Wild 2 Wilder Breath came out this year. Because I think this game would be up there. You know what I mean? There were a lot of really good games this year. And this one gets apexed by, one of the best games ever.
We're talking about Baldur's Gate 3?
No, we're not.
Okay. Because that's what I've been playing a lot of, too.
Oh, God.
I managed to get back into playing Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah, because you said you weren't.
Like, I gotta.
What did you say? You were digging it, but you hadn't played a lot of it.
Yeah, I had to kind of like. I was trying to get through so much. I was trying to get through Final Fantasy 16, which I finished. I was trying to get through some Sea of Stars, because, like, I don't know, for some reason, computer games, I have a lot harder time playing a computer game, consistently, rather than, I don't know if it's just because it's located in a side room of my house rather than, like, the living room or whatever.
Unless you're a PC gamer, man, I think that's a common issue.
To which, if you're a PC gamer, I just don't know. How do you do it? How do you do it without being, like, an absolute mess all the time? Because I can't get shit to work ever.
Yeah.
So I have been playing, I've gotten back into playing Baldur's Gate 3, and it's so good. That game is, like, the writing is on point. It is, like, I've been saying this, like, since I started, like, to a bunch of my friends. It is the Fallout 1 and 2, the modern Fallout 1 and 2 that I've been looking for so long. And it's in, like, a fantasy world, which I'm familiar with. It's got D&D classes, which I play D&D, so I understand a lot of these classes. It's not my favorite tabletop RPG game system, but at least I'm familiar with it going in, so I've got the gist of a lot of the minutiae of all of the stats and abilities and spells and all that sort of stuff. But, like, the writing is so good, and then there's all these spells that open up these different avenues for you that you wouldn't think of. Like, there's, if you have the spell to talk to animals, there's, like, insane dialogue options that you have with just random animals that you walk up to. Or even, like, the spell to, there's, like, speak with dead. And you can just, like, oh, here's a corpse of somebody who clearly died. Let's talk to him for a bit. And sure, they can't give you, like, full, like, you only get, like, 5 questions when you're talking to them. But, like, you can kind of, like, get some information and, like, solve your mysteries and figure out which way to go. And it's so funny talking to buddies of mine that are playing it as well. And they're, like, they're just discovering completely different things, and because they're playing the game differently, and they're different, have different team composition, and I don't know. I just have so much fun playing that game.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, man. I wish I had more of a perspective on it, I guess. Because I... That's like one of those game genres where I have like almost no frame of reference. Like other than the fact that I've played a very small part of like Divinity Original Sin 2.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think.
That's pretty much, I think that from the, if you played that, that's a very similar system.
But it, yeah, I mean, I've played like the first hour maybe. And I was like, wow, this is just like too... RPG, like you think of the, like we use the term RPG so loosely, like like the Jedi Survivor game, but it was an action RPG simply because it has like you like attribute points to like things and somehow that became an RPG. But like what you're talking about is an RPG, you know what I mean? Yes,
like
and I guess I don't know, I don't have the patience for that. It's a lot, man.
It is a lot. It is, like, you're going to be investing a lot of time playing this game if that's, like, it's just the nature of the beast. But the beauty of it is so much of it is, like, voice acted. So,
yeah.
You really don't have to worry about a lot of things. And then, like, a lot of the checks that you would do in, like, D&D and whatnot is auto-done for you. Like if you notice something, typically you'd have to roll to see if you notice something or whatnot. But it happens automatically, and the area of whatever you found lights up, and the characters talk to each other and have like these relationships with each other that are just like fantastic, because none of them are perfectly like, they're unwilling allies almost at times. And it's really funny, like, because you're like, well, I gotta solve this like quest, I gotta do this quest. And, like, two members of your party are like, this ain't good. And then the other two members are like, this is probably the right way to do it, right? And, like, you make the choice in the end of the day, the way you handle it. And it's like, you're, like, you're tiptoeing around a lot of characters, like, moral decisions and more, like, their moral compass is, like, completely different from other characters' moral compasses. And it's a give and take a lot of the time. But man, the writing is just so good, and there's so many like interesting characters, and it's not just flat like you're the good guy. No, like the first quest you have is essentially like sorting out a dispute between like goblins want to attack this camp, and in this camp there's a bunch of refugees who are like trying to get to the big city. And they need the protection of the druids. And the druids are like, yeah, we don't want you guys here anymore. So we don't care if the goblins come and kill you. You have to get off our land. And they're like, we just need protection from the goblins. But, like, the druids also have, like, apparently the refugees fucked with some sacred altar. So it's, like, they're angry. And so everybody's kind of justified with the exception of the goblins, which are just goblins and evil. But, like, there's all of these, like, delicate sides that you have to tiptoe around. And, of course, like, in one playthrough, you're not going to get the perfect answer. You can't, like, team up with everybody. You kind of have to pick one of the groups and just focus on them and see it to completion. And it's really dynamic. Like, also in that camp, there's a goblin prisoner, which I decided, you know what, you're cool. Let's free the goblin prisoner and escort her off the premises with a lot of really clever, like, lies and charm people spells to, like, no, it's okay, they're with me. like, they're like, I don't think you're supposed to be taking that prisoner. No, it's good. And then, like, escorted me through the goblin base, and I'm, like, all buddy-buddies with the goblins before I turned on them. So it was really cool. Like, there's a lot of, like, dynamic, like, character interactions. Like right now I'm sneaking into a bad guy base because they all think I'm a buddy with them, and but like the one of the factions is like, okay, we know, like, this is our only chance, we need to find out how to destroy their leader, and you have to sneak into that base, and if they're all buddy buddy with you, then just keep up that facade, right? But sometimes they make you do like morally questionable things, and you're like, I don't want to do that. And it's like, it's really playing with the the what is your limits to being this character? And it's like, I can't wait to like finish this game and then immediately start again and just play a completely evil character and see what storyline I get with that, because clearly there's different plots. Like I can be the evil guys, and that's the way to play the game. And I just love that, and I miss that of like those sort of Fallout games where you can essentially do a lot of things without really engaging in too much combat. You just do a lot more diplomacy and stuff. So
yeah, and a diverse number of like outcomes. It's almost like a choose your own adventure novel, you know what I mean? Everything is like so finely tuned to at least like accomplish a main goal, but it sounds like in the game you're describing you can have multiple like paths through the same thing.
A choose your own adventure is a great, like, that's like your first dipping your toes into what tabletop RPGs are all about.
Yeah.
It's like being there with, one, it's hanging out with friends and then bullshitting a story. And then the other half of it is like, you're crafting your own story by the choices you make. And everybody's like kind of playing off of that. But yeah, Choose Your Own Adventures is a great description of how to video game-ize that sort of experience.
Yeah. I feel like Mass Effect was a lot like that. But that's the last. Yeah. I liked it when they did those games well. Like when they adapted like the action to the RPG part rather than just making it not like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is turn-based, so if you don't like turn-based games or turn-based tactical style games, then you might not enjoy it. But for me, who like I grew up on like the first two Fallout games on like computer and absolutely love them to death. This is like, I'm so happy to play this, and it's turn-based, not what Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 were, which was like this weird sort of real-time, you have to stop, like pause the game and then select all your actions, then watch it play out and have to do that over and over again. Not my kind of cup of tea.
Well, you were talking about playing this game on a computer, James, which I know you have to have one of those in order to play it. Actually, I think I was seeing somebody play it on PlayStation 4 today.
Yeah. 5. It's on PlayStation, and I think it's finally on Xbox as well.
That's
because it wasn't on Xbox originally because of some compatibility issues.
Yeah, but like I wonder if it was something to do with the fact that, like, I read an article the other day that said that they were having a hard time developing for the S because of it's not as powerful as the X. So I was curious if that was like part of the reason that was delayed too.
It could be.
But yeah, you can play it on the Asus Rogue Ally that I got.
Oh shit!
To fucking play Sea of Stars, so that I could. Didn't have to be on my Xbox to play it. I was like so obsessed with that game, and I didn't buy it just for that, but I was like, I bet I like the Xbox platform and it works well. I wonder if I would play it more if I had like a more powerful device to play it on.
Yeah,
and it is pretty sweet, man, like as of now. But it interfaces like it has a Windows 11 on it, the operating system. Wow. So it's like, and it syncs with your PC kind of. It's interesting.
Okay, cool.
I mean, you map the buttons. It works pretty well. You can sleep it. It doesn't work as well as, like, the Switch one. The Switch.
Yeah.
When you put it to sleep and wake it back up. It's not as seamless as that.
Okay.
But I played a lot of Sea of Stars on it, and I want to play Black Mesa.
Oh, yeah. That's the remake of Half-Life.
Half-Life, yeah. Because I played Half-Life Alyx, and I freaking loved that game, man. But that's the only Half-Life experience I have is Half-Life Alyx. Which, have you played Half-Life Alyx, man?
No, I don't have the...
That game's dope.
VR capabilities. I believe you. I love Half-Life 1. I was not the hugest fan of Half-Life 2.
Black Mesa is a remake of the first one, I think.
That's what it is.
So yeah.
And it's like... Half-Life 1 is really good up until the very last section of the game where you're on like an alien planet, and it's just like the original version is just, it's not hot garbage, but it's like, that's so there's so many dumb moments where it's like, there's so many things that can just one hit you. That all of the scenery doesn't make sense. There's a lot of like riding these weird little platforms and just like, it's not as tightly designed as the rest of the game.
I'm interested to see how they've redone it. Have you played the remake or whatever? Black Mesa?
No, I have not played Black Mesa. It's been on my, like, I get notifications from Steam all the time being like, hey, it's on sale again. I was like, great. I'm too busy. And I did, like, up until recently, haven't had a real computer. Now I have a real computer, so I can, I can probably play it.
But I found myself, I have, like, a computer that can play. It has a 2600 in it, so it can play something.
Oh.
But, that Asus ROG Ally, man, I can play pretty much anything.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just, that's what I was actually asking about. You and I were talking about, what were we talking about? The early access games.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to play Witchfire. And the only way you can play Witchfire is on Epic, because it is a, early access game on Epic. Or maybe you can get it on Steam too, I'm not sure, but it's not on PC, so I haven't pulled the trigger on that one yet, but I do think it's going to allow me to use the Xbox platform a lot more in some of the games that I have on Epic for free that I've never played.
Yeah.
Like, you ever think about that? All the games that you have on Epic? Like, if you claim those free games, it's unbelievable how quick that stuff adds up, man.
Oh, I know. And the weirdest thing is, like I do that with my PlayStation all the time, too. It's like, I can claim the two PlayStation Plus games every month or whatever. And and it's just like, I go through my library and I'm like, oh, look at all these games. Like, and that's just, like, none of them I want to play. I'll spend another $80 on this game.
Yeah, exactly.
Or
the fact that you have, like, now you have libraries. Because you have the PlayStation Plus Premium, don't you?
Yeah, I have the premium, and then I've got the I've got the PlayStation Plus premium. I've got the Xbox Game Pass thing. I've got the you get free games with Steam. You get free games with Epic. You get like there's so many. I have so many libraries of games that I have for free, and it's like
Amazon, still, man. Amazon has them too.
Oh yeah, that's true. I've gotten a few from Amazon.
Yeah, it adds up.
Oh, it sure does. You get quite the catalog without paying a dollar.
I know. And then still pay more than a dollar.
Speaking of Game Pass, I have one more game I want to talk about.
Yeah.
I've been playing some Starfield on stream.
Yeah, so I've been playing
a ton of Starfield.
What do you think of it?
Let me tell you, I don't like it.
I don't either.
I have tried so hard to be like, I think I saw a tweet from Kat Bailey the other day. And she was, like, saying that, oh, hey, so I've just finished Baldur's Gate 3. I jump back into Starfield. I'm on this mission. I'm doing this. I've got this, these characters, blah, blah, blah. She's like, when does the game get interesting or, like, fun to play? And I'm like, yeah I'm kind of stuck there, too. Like, there's so much in this game that I'm like, it's just kind of, like, cool, but I don't know what I'm doing or why I'm doing it or why I care about anything at all. And it's just trapped in this sort of like, God, there's so much garbage in that game. Like, in like the sense of like, you open up your mini map and it's just dots. It's like somebody's like, let's draw a horizon or like a topographical map with like only using pointillism. Like, it's like just dots creating like a weird bumpy landscape and then just like icons of where things are. It's like why even give me a map? Just give me a list of locations.
Yeah.
Like, what was the point of this map other than just to create some sort of semblance of a map? It's terrible. Map.
Yeah.
And then the other aspects are like stuff like the menuing is so bad. Like, the start button accesses like three different like you have to push start. It opens up like the main, like, here's your character, here's your planet, the maps and whatnot. Here's your inventory. You push start again and now it goes to the start menu. Like whatever, like save, load, whatever. All of those menu, that menu screen. And then you push it again and it goes back to the game. And it's like, that was just, I don't know, it's just too much you could have done this in a completely different way, or had, like, I don't know, a different button to bring you to your character screen.
Yep.
And then there's stuff like, you want to go to a planet. So I did learn a trick to get past all of this. But say I want to leave my planet and I want to go to another planet. I have to push, or I have to go to my ship, I have to get in my ship, open, like, go through the doors, enter the cockpit, go to the seat, sit down, press Y to lift off the planet. Then it goes to, like, the space shot. Then you have to push start to go into your map. Then you have to go to select the planet you want to go to from the map, which is, like, the multiple zooms ins and zoom outs from, like, different, like, planets. Oh, I want to go to the solar system. You got to zoom out of the map, zoom out of the map. Now we're in the solar system. Choose the solar system. Zoom in. Choose the planets. Zoom in. Choose the, like, area of the planet you want to land on. Great. Now you have to, now that you've done that, you leave the map, you push X or whatever, and it says, like, okay, launching, and then he goes back in. You have to make sure you have, now you're back flying, and it says you're launching in 3, 2, 1, or whatever, and you have to make sure you've got your power in a certain, like, your gravity drive or whatever.
Dude,
then you take off.
Which, figuring out how to me, figuring out how to add power to those bars on the bottom left, what you're talking about, you know? You have to, in order to have more stuff go to the gravity drive, you have to drop it from somewhere else. You have to redistribute the power, basically.
Yeah.
Figuring out how to do that alone, I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, this is way too much stuff. Why is there so much of this to do?
Oh my god. You know, it's, I don't mind that system. Like, I think that system's great. I played FTL, Fast and Light.
Yeah.
It's a great little system for, like, that should be how it is, but
it's implemented poorly then.
But yes, it should be almost like this, like, if you're gonna do that sort of control, you should have like autopilot or something. Like something else taking control of your ship while you're doing this sort of stuff.
Right.
And, like, I don't know, like, anyway. Once you've gotten to the planet or whatever, now you have to push X to land on the planet. You have to get out. Like, there's just so much. And they just decide to randomly change which button does things sometimes. Like, okay, X is to, like, activate things. But sometimes X is to get out or cancel. Or sometimes X is. And it's just all over the place. It is a mess. Like, I found out now that what you could do is you go to the quest line you want to do. And you push X to select that quest line, or, like, set course to that quest line. And then you hold X, and it just cutscenes you straight to the exact place. Like, you can be on a planet, and you've already, like, it'll just skip the flying your ship, doing anything, and now you've landed on the location that you want to. And that's it. Like, and it's, but that takes away 80% of the immersion and the reason we want to play a space game.
Yeah.
And, like, for me, I want to fly my ship. I want to dogfight with people. I want to board other people's ships. Stuff like that. That's the stuff that I was really excited for. And it, most of the time, your ship is just a fast travel mechanism.
Yeah.
And it's really been, I don't know, kind of subpar. Like, I would say that it's a good game, but it's not a great game. Like, it's a good game. There's going to be people out there that fucking love it. But I would not. This is not even near. Like, with all the games we've been playing this year, it's nowhere near the contention for Game of the Year as other games I've played this year.
Yeah.
Like, I would put, there's a game called Dredge. I talked about it before.
Yeah.
Little fishing game.
I played
just got
demo.
An update. Just got an update. Can't wait to play that update. But that game is a much better game than Starfield.
Yeah. I liked,
and I mean,
by the way, I liked the Dredge demo. I played the first chapter of that.
So,
and it's
so good.
A good game. I could definitely see myself playing all of that if and when I buy it.
I strongly, like, recommend it.
There's games coming up, so it's just, like, hard for me to envision a time where I'm going to play it right now.
Spider-Man and Mario next week.
I know. That's what I'm saying, man.
And I'm sitting here going, like, I probably shouldn't buy both of them the same time, so which one do I buy right away?
I'm gonna play Spider-Man.
Spider-Man?
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna do that one too.
But I did want to say, like, I just didn't find the gameplay of, what game were we just talking about?
Starfield.
Yeah. I wanted to say Sea of Stars. Too many star games.
Yeah, I know.
Starfield, it was the first mission, basically. I was like, oh, this is kind of like a Fallout game in space.
Yeah.
I get it. And then, yeah, like, I completely echo your, feelings on the inner space travel and combat kind of thing. Like, it's just not well done. I don't know.
Yeah, it's... And like you said, like, the missions feel like you're not a part of the mission. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, here's your quest. You talk to these people. These people have these connections. So you're going to go talk to their buddy with connections. Oh, they're not there. And then you got to... Like, it just feels like you're just along for the ride.
Yeah.
You're not the main character of the story that you're playing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of unfulfilling when you're like, all right, so we accomplished the mission, I guess? Like, yeah. We got the
thing, whatever.
The weird metal toenail and...
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Toenail clipping.
I guess.
Cool. That's it, I guess. And I know that I've talked to people and they've heard that the actual game doesn't start until New Game Plus.
Oh.
If that's the case, then don't make it New Game Plus. Like, don't just make it part of the game.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't take you, I don't know, 20, 30 hours to reach that state where the real game starts. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm glad to hear you say that in some respect, because I was okay with not playing it. Because I only played not much, maybe however long that first mission is.
Yeah.
I couldn't even guess, but I finished that and went to outer space, and then I was like, I think I'm done with this game. It's not very fun. So another game that I played that was like that, man, with my rogue ally was Gotham Knights. Because it's on Game Pass.
Yeah.
And that's another game I feel like I maybe just finished the first mission and I don't need to necessarily finish it.
Yeah.
But it's apparently, yeah, I know Chris had you stoked about the new guy doing Superman, you know, because you're a comic book
guy.
Oh,
yes. Jason Aaron.
Yeah. So I was just kind of... what game were we just talking about?
Before Starfield or after Starfield?
Yeah.
Oh, damn it. I don't know. I'm lost. I started thinking comics as soon as you mentioned up Jason Aaron and lost my train of thought.
Oh, yeah. So did I. Anyway. So is that what else? You have Final Fantasy 16 on here?
Oh, I finished that. Finished that months ago.
Okay. Because you have Baldur's Gate on this one and Sea of Stars the last time we recorded. I'm disappointed
really?
In your video game playing, James. Yeah, I thought
you
edited this today.
I did not. I didn't even touch the... I haven't signed into the doc in a while.
Oh, no worries.
I have been playing some Alan Wake for Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
And Alan is not awake yet, so...
No.
No, he's... I think I'm just over halfway through. I'm in chapter 3, about halfway through chapter 3. I think there's 6 chapters, so I'm on a good pace finishing it by the end of the month.
I'm kind of disappointed that the second one isn't coming out until later this month. I wish it was
coming out sooner. And what are we going to do? You're going to play Spider-Man, Alan Wake 2, and Mario? Are you going to play Mario?
I'm not going to play Mario. I just bought the 2. I'm not a big fan of 2D Marios.
Fair enough.
Maybe we talked about this. In my opinion, the best 2D Mario game in recent memory is the 2D levels in the Mario Odyssey, Super Mario Odyssey.
Yeah, I hear you.
I just don't, I don't know. But I'm excited that you're excited, man.
I know, but I'm conflicted, right? Because it's like, I want to play Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I just want to play... Like, we're supposed to be saving for a wedding. I don't want to be spending all this money that... Here's the other thing. Mario's never going down in price.
Yeah,
Spider-Man
exactly.
Might.
Oh, it will eventually,
I know. And I just, like... I don't know if I could deal with the FOMO, though.
Of which one?
Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I don't know. I just really want to play that one. And I guess I'm not really torn about it. So it's not a hard decision for me.
Yeah, fair enough.
But decisions, man. I also was playing the Resident Evil DLC.
Oh shit.
Separate Ways, which is
how's that?
It's freaking fantastic, man. I just finished it. For the first time. It took me about 8 hours. And it was only $10, dude. That wasn't even on sale.
That's
just what it is. And you basically play Ada Wong's story.
Yeah.
So the control, I mean, it's, you still have the merchant in there that sells you stuff. You still have a lot of other weird, she does has some different gameplay characteristics. And obviously a parallel but separate storyline.
Separate Ways was in the original. That was, that you could get that for the original.
Oh, really? I did not know that. Maybe you could.
I swear it was like bonus content or something like
that. Okay. Yeah, maybe you could. I guess I never played that. Which is weird because I don't know. I completely would believe it, but I've played Resident Evil 4 on like at least 3 different systems several times. It's weird that I've never played that before.
Yeah. Okay. So Assignment Ada was a mini game involving Ada collecting a number of Plaga samples as ordered by Albert Wesker, opposed to collecting a single sample like in the main game. So it's more of a mini game. It's less of a, you start on the island at Wharf A, and it ends at the communication tower. So it's not like, doesn't sound like it's a huge, it's been a long time, but I do remember playing it.
This seems, I mean, the goal is different. She's after Amber, a piece of Amber instead of killing
the Plaga sample,
Plagas.
Yeah.
But maybe it's only slightly different. Either way.
Well, yeah.
I think it's definitely worth playing.
Okay.
It's a good game.
It's worth good. The $10. And you know what? 8 hours sounds like a perfect game length.
Yeah.
I think we were talking about this, but, like, you know when people... Yeah, I think you mentioned... You said to me, like, you know when people talk about a 20-hour game being a perfect game length?
Yeah.
I'm fine with 10.
Yes, exactly. I'm definitely getting to that stage in my life, I think.
Yeah, me too.
Well, yeah, what else you got, man?
Oh, shoot. What else have I been playing? I think that's about it. Starfield and whatnot. Alan Wake. I downloaded Callisto Protocol, but I haven't started it.
Yeah.
I did want to play some of it. But yeah, games have been... I mentioned at the top of the show that I watch a horror movie every day of October?
Yeah.
I also do Inktober, which is a drawing thing that you draw a picture every day based on prompts all through October for every day. So I've been doing mine. So here's how it ties back to video games. I've been doing mine based on Pokemon. So every single prompt, I connect it to something Pokemon, and I've been drawing it. I've been experimenting with a different art style. I post it on my Instagram and on my Threads
account. That's where I've seen it. Okay.
So
I see it on Instagram because I knew I've seen it. And I don't think you or I go on Twitter very often anymore.
No, I've really avoided it like the plague lately. but yeah, so I've been doing that. So I've been, every day I have like several hours that I have to like kind of dedicate to other things than video games, which is drawing and watching a movie. And then on top of it, because I'm an idiot, I decided to sign up for an online Root tournament, which is Root, the board game that I've talked about multiple times and love. Yeah. So I'm playing it through Tabletop Simulator online, and every weekend. So this weekend I have two games, and they can be up to four to 5 hours long.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, so, oh, I don't know why I do this to myself, but I have a lot on my plate, and
that's intense.
I really cannot wait to not have anything, but as soon as November rolls around, I do Movember, where I grow a mustache to raise money for men's health and prostate cancer and stuff like that.
This is going to be awkward, James, but you already have a mustache.
I know. I shave it off, and then I grow it back.
Gotcha.
Although, you know what? I'm really tempted to just leave it this year. And just have the mustache the whole time. I don't think anybody's gonna...
No.
Gonna complain, right?
No,
right?
I don't think so at all.
I know people well.
They might.
They only care about the money.
Right, I think that's the only thing that actually matters.
Matters.
In this at the circumstance, end of the
day.
Yeah.
Making sure that we're raising the money.
Yeah. Dude, I would love to grow a Movember beard, but I itch like a mofo.
Yeah.
You know? So.
So, yeah, that's also why I'm barely shaving this month, because I was like, you know what, I'm gonna be shaving, constantly next month, so let's just let my gross neck beard grow out a little bit more. So, yeah. No video games. Beard. Yeah. Don't you love it? So, yeah, I haven't been playing a ton of video games outside of the four that I've mentioned.
Nice. Tabletop Simulator is a pretty cool platform. I think I told you before I played with my friend, what's that super popular tabletop game now? I think you and I have talked about it before. Oh, it's going to bug me.
Is it the one I hate, Catan?
No.
Okay.
It's like the biggest one.
Oh.
Anyway, my buddy and I used to play it we've played it before in VR on Tabletop Simulator.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty cool. Gloomhaven.
Gloomhaven? Oh, shit. Yeah, that's basically D&D, but the board game.
Yeah. It was intense, man. And, like, to that point, like, I can't sit for that long, I don't think, and play a board game. It's not that it's not fun, man. It's just too intense.
It's like I can't remember all the rules. Yeah, it's like booking yourself down to play a game of Twilight Imperium, which is at least 5 hours of learning the game, and then another 6 or 8 hours to play the game.
Yeah.
Good times.
And it's just, I mean, yeah, more power to you if you are driven to do that. I can't, man. I don't have the...
The thing is, once you know the game, right? Once you got it down, then it's not a big deal. It's like playing Root, right? For me, it's like, I know the game... And it usually can take to 2 to 3 hours, especially if some people take forever on their turns, not pointing names at anybody who was in my tournament game last week. But half-hour turns are not acceptable. There should be a fucking stop timer. Exactly. You should have timed turns. You have an hour to play your faction to completion, and so does everybody else, whatever. So max out at 4 hours.
Yeah.
No longer. But yeah, no, it's just, I don't know, those sort of games, once you know it, once you understand it, and you're like, I know what I'm looking for,
I know
what my opponents are looking for, it starts to flow a lot faster, so you start to, like, go through the game and understand it, and you don't have to be like, oh shit, what do I do now, and how do I do this, and how does this interaction work, and board games are a whole nother can of worms, and you don't have, like, the game, like, a game interface just automatically deciding the outcome for you.
Yeah, for sure, man. That's just getting to that point that's kind of hard sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, unless you had some news to talk about, I say we do
Gamer.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, let's do it. I've never seen the cards. They got a little Famicom controller card. That's cool.
Yeah. Question, when Mega Man... Oh, you're gonna know this one. When Mega Man defeats a boss, he A, acquires their power, upgrades his cannon arm, learns a new attack, can access the next level. Can I guess this one first?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's A, acquires their power, right?
Yeah, he does acquire their power. And sometimes he upgrades his cannon, or Buster Cannon.
I don't know that I've ever finished a Mega Man game. They make me mega mad.
Mega Man. That's funny. Mega Man 2 is one of my favorite games. They're repetitive.
Not repetitive. Oh, no. I'm sorry. That's not what I mean. I mean, like, the checkpointing. I hate that, like, you die, like, three times and you have to start the whole level all over again.
Yeah.
I must not be very good at them.
That is an antiquated system of playing video games. But, yes.
I agree. But if you're good at them, like, more power to you. I just don't have the patience. I'm finding out today, James, I might not have a lot of patience. I don't know.
Yeah. There you go. You're not a doctor, are you?
Not a medical doctor, no.
Okay, well, are you an actual doctor?
I have a doctorate degree.
Oh, you're a doctor then. Shit.
Yeah.
You're a doctor without patience.
Exactly. Damn, dude, that was fast. You should have a doctorate in cleverness. Because that was a good one. In what year was the Atari 2600 released?
Oh, God.
I looked because I wanted to see if it was multiple choice.
I want to say...
So I'm not going to guess.
I want to say it's in the 70s. And I'll just say 76.
Ah, so close, James. 77.
Oh my God, it was right there too. I was like, nah, 77 seems weird.
Yeah.
Nobody releases things on double digit years.
What were they thinking?
Oh, yeah.
Clearly, they weren't.
Like, come on. Get with the program. All right. Exactly. Well, I was close. I was close.
You were very close.
I was Price is Right rule, so I didn't go over.
I know I would have guessed 70s, but I don't know that I would have guessed earlier or late 70s. Because I feel like it would have been earlier than that. My reference.
See, the Nintendo was 83, right? So if the Nintendo.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
The Nintendo was 83. I figured it had to be a few years before it, but it couldn't be a ridiculous amount. So I figured late 70s or mid to late 70s.
Was
so
it a 2600 like what they played Pong on?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Like with the
and a lot of games. Like I think they had.
Yeah they had there was more than that.
That was the big Atari, right? That was
they're
billions of games.
Yeah,
Adventure was on it. I think Frogger was on it. You know.
We probably already have all of them on some device, and we don't even know it, dude. Like we were talking about earlier, we might go have it in our Steam library as we speak. Who knows?
I actually got a Atari, like the all-in-one Atari. Like it's essentially Atari Mini.
You got all
for Christmas from Chrissy's parents one year.
There you go.
It's literally just I can play Frogger, I can play Adventure, I can play whatever. Drag race or whatever, street race or
there you go.
Good. Yeah.
What Nintendo system was released after the N64 and before the Wii?
GameCube.
Yeah. That's an easy one.
We can't name Dolphin.
We can't end on a super easy one.
Yeah. Sorry, I should pause. We should pause a little bit so listeners back at home can try and guess before I crush.
I guess maybe there are. Maybe because we're old that we know that, like, maybe if you're, like, my nephew's only 21 or 22.
Oh, man.
He might not know
what a GameCube is.
Because I think to him, like, the first one he played was the Wii. So, wouldn't that be weird to have that your frame of reference?
I guess that would be my kids. My oldest. That was her first video game that she really played was Mario Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Which is a fantastic game. Oh, but do you think if you asked her what was before the Wii, do you think she would know?
Yeah, I think she would now. She's a little bit versed in that.
More worldly?
She's definitely. Yeah, worldly. My youngest, probably not. Not at all.
Yeah.
Probably doesn't even know the name of the current Nintendo console.
Okay. Ooh, what color is the ring of death on an Xbox 360 that signifies hardware failure?
Now, I never had an Xbox 360 growing up.
Oh.
So, I'm going to say red because that's what the joke was, right?
Yeah, but
everybody's talking about the red ring of death.
Yeah, it was. And I think it was three rings instead of all four. Because I got it at least once with my...
Oh. 60, maybe because it's like they're segments. The ring?
Yeah. Segments? Because it, so it show, I think it was to display, like, the number of players you had. So you could have up to four controllers. So, like, it would, you could tell how many controllers were attached by the number of rings.
That's so kind of cool.
If I remember right. So then, if only three of them lit up and it was blinking red, then you were, it didn't work.
You're dead. You're done. Yep. Dunzo. I had my PlayStation 3 give me the red light. I got that too. And I was devastated and contacted PlayStation, and they, I sent it to them. And they replaced whatever was broken, and it worked perfectly. Nice. And I think they updated, upgraded my my hard drive because I had way more space afterwards.
Nice. I will say so. Xbox did like handle that really well. Like when it did happen, they like took care of all the shipping and stuff. Like,
yeah, that's good. Good game companies back then.
Yeah, I feel like they'd do the same thing now. In my opinion,
yeah, for the most part, unless you're Nintendo and you're like, your controllers are drifting. Yeah, it's too bad, I guess.
Have you seen this YouTube video about the the rubber band fix? Maybe check that thing out. That was Nintendo's.
Here's a link to buy a new one.
Yeah, exactly. Too bad you weren't here last week when they were on sale for 5 seconds. Oh, ain't that the truth? We love you, Nintendo, anyway.
We got it.
Well, hey, man. Well, it's Friday. So, Friday the 13th, spooky. Again. Ooh. I'll put maybe I should find a sounder, like a spooky Halloween sounder.
Yeah, there you go.
Real thing though, I probably won't do that. We all know that. But I like to think that I will. James, where can people find you at?
At Buttlord Primus on socials. And you can watch me play video games really badly if you want. I play them usually in the evenings at twitch.tv/BLP Entertainment.
Do you still do Mondays and Wednesdays, or what's your schedule?
I do Tuesday through Thursdays, so Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Sweet. Cool. Well, you can find me at Johnny Samson on Twitter, and James already said BLP, whatever it was, BLP, or at
Buttlord whatever Primus. It was.
At Buttlord Primus. I can never keep... Now you have the BLP Entertainment and Buttlord Primus.
So I really shouldn't have changed my Twitch.
I don't mean that wasn't a criticism. It's just an observation, that's all.
Yeah, I wanted to be a little bit more so people coming in didn't just, I don't know, get like, oh, what the fuck? What's his name?
Yeah.
Why is his name...
It's well-branded in case you go into other things. Other forms like of entertainment.
If I one day got a company reaching out to me for doing a promotion, it's not promoted by... Use the promo code BUTTLORD.
I don't know, man. I don't... I could see it. You know? It would be hard, but, you know, you could maybe make
Audible.com/BUTTLORD for your free month of Audible.
Oh, exactly. Oh, man. That's a good point. That would be a hard one to do. Anyway, you can find Chris at VG Occasion, maybe. He hasn't been on here for a while. He's in school. He's getting his book learning on. So,
I'm jealous. I miss school.
Oh, man. I don't. Not formal school. I feel like that's what I do every day of my life.
See, I just like learning.
I do too. Yeah. It's just more of a daily function at this point.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. My son and I watch a ton of nature shows. I feel like I'm highly educated on ants and other forms of small critters these days. Angie, where is Angie? At Stellar Smalls. You can follow the podcast at MN Gamers Podcast. Email us podcast@mostlynormalgamers.com. What did I miss? Text or voicemail us your thoughts or sick calls to work at 507-291-2991. Haven't got one of those in a little while, James. So that's good. person must good. Be doing better.
Everybody's healthy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good news. It's not one of those COVID outbreaks.
Oh, we have one around here. It's bad.
Oh, no. Check out the VOD on Mostly Normal Gamers YouTube channel, and you can watch us live when we do that. Twitch.tv/MostlyNormalGamers. That's it. Go play games. Bye.
Bye.